right, take your Bibles. Please turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we're going to start reading in verse 10. We'll read through verse 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 13, and then I'll read one other verse to you later in that chapter. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 13. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Skip down, and I'll read verse 17 to you. These sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the challenge tonight. Lord, we don't have to but go out of the doors of this building to find people that are lost. There are people lost everywhere we go. The Holy Spirit of God, would you teach us tonight? Would you help us? Would you give us what we need? Would you encourage us, and would you strengthen us, and would you challenge us to do more for you, please? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I have to hurry this evening. I will preach fast. I will preach quickly. You listen quickly, and then we can get going here. I make a statement in our church regularly. I'm not ashamed of the statement I make. I have lived this statement for 45 years. I plan on living it another 45 years or till Jesus comes or till somebody takes me out in a 6-foot-long box. Amen? God wrote that book right there. Those are God's words. Those are not man's words. You say, preacher, you say that a lot. I know I do, but there's a reason for that. You have to understand the authority of the scripture. These are not man's words. I've been in church. I hear preachers say this all the time. Psalm 51, this is the Psalm of David. They get that from Mr. Schofield's notes. It's not a Psalm of David. This is God's Psalm. These are not David's words. These are God's words that David penned. David didn't write his thoughts down. These are God's thoughts. These are God's words. I want you to notice Psalm 51. This is, often preachers will say, well, these are David's words after he committed sin with Bathsheba and the killing of Uriah. No, these are God's words to David after David sins. These are not David's words. These are God's words. I want you to notice what David had been through. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had tried to cover it up by bringing Uriah back from the battlefield, one of his trusted warriors. Uriah would not spend the evening with his wife 2 nights in a row. He slept outside the palace on the steps because his men were fighting in battle, and he did not want to go enjoy his wife while his men were fighting. What an honorable man. David sends Uriah's death wish back in Uriah's own hands, tells the commander to put Uriah in the front of the battle, and at the heat of the battle to withdraw everybody but Uriah so that Uriah be killed. Then David tries to cover it up and marries Bathsheba as though he pities her, and then he lies to the man of God, the prophet. Here we have God's words to David. There's 4 statements here that I want you to get tonight. You see the statement, spirit. There's 4 different spirits, not the spirits Brother Jerry has, but there are 4 different spirits here mentioned. You're not going to live that one down very long, are you? I'm not going to let it. The word spirit is an interesting word. Often, and I have looked it up here in Psalm 51, you could almost, in our language, use the word attitude. The word spirit and the word attitude are just about kin words there. Now, I say that because the word spirit has to do with our breath. It has to do with the life-giving breath. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He put a spirit into him, and our spirit is our attitude. We'll get into this in a moment. I believe I have a pretty healthy spirit, personally. I have studied me. I have made a study of myself. I have been taught to do so. I have. Rarely, if ever, will you ever see me down. Rarely, if ever, will you see my burden. You say, why? Because I don't let my attitude show what's going on the inside. Duck philosophy, amen? Calm and smooth on top and pedal furiously underneath so nobody sees you. You don't see me way up here and then way down here. You don't walk into church, what kind of attitude's he got today? You might look at the size of the coffee and say, uh-oh, we're in trouble. That's the caffeine, not the spirit, though. I have studied me. I know what causes me to get discouraged. I know what causes me to get mad. I know what causes things to encourage me. I know what causes things to get whatever response I need emotionally, and I know what to do, and I know what to avoid, so I don't respond wrongly at the wrong time. You have to understand, I live with problems. I live with hundreds of problems. Last Sunday morning, before Sunday school, my phone rang, and it was Mrs. Hawkins. We're taking Ed to the hospital via ambulance. We think he's had a stroke. I had to teach my Sunday school class. I had to come in here, preach church, and then go to the hospital. I've known Brother Ed Hawkins for 27 years. That is my dear friend. I've been, Brother Ed and I and Miss Carolyn and my wife and I have been to hell and back together a few times. We've been through a lot of battles together. My heart was burdened. Say, what'd you do? You didn't sense it in my spirit that I was down. I was worried for him. But I wasn't going to show you. Now, I say that to say this. I live with problems. I live with people's financial problems. I know people in here that are about to go bankrupt. I know people in here that you're not sure where the next paycheck's coming from. I know people in here that if something doesn't change, you need a miracle of God to happen. I know people in here that have health problems. Folks in here that are facing losing their jobs. I could go down the list and that I help try to carry your burdens. Here in Psalm 51, David has been hit and hit hard by sin. May I say this, we're all sinners. Say, well, I'm not as bad a sinner as somebody else. Your arrogance is proving otherwise. We're all sinners. But we all need to make sure that we have a good spirit or a good attitude, even though we're sinners. I'm not talking about Norman Vincent Peale and positive mental attitude. Think it so and it will be. Gag. I can tell you all I want that I have a good attitude, that if I throw my keys in the air, they're not going to fall to the ground, but gravity is a higher law than a positive attitude. You don't think yourself into doing something positive. You have to know what encourages you, what discourages you. Do you know how many doors I have knocked on in my lifetime soul winning? I don't think I would be lying that it's well over 1 million doors. Do you know how many no's I've had in my life? I've had more no's than most people have even knocked on. Say, what makes you knock on the next one? Obedience. I'm just the mail carrier. I'm not responsible for what's in the envelope. Whether they open the bill or not, not my problem. I'm just supposed to take it to everybody. Everybody doing okay? Say, don't you get hurt when people let you present the gospel and they don't get saved? Yeah, but Jesus said, shake the dust off your shoes and go to the next one. You're just supposed to give it. I'm supposed to give it everything I've got, have the power of God. I'm supposed to do everything I can. I agree. But if they don't, there's other lost people out there that need to hear it. I'll come back and get that one again later. Now listen to me very carefully. I want to show you these four spirits of Psalm 51 tonight very quickly. Number one, verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Circle that little right there if you write in your Bible or whatever. That word right spirit, very interesting word. The word right means principled or consistent. Principled or consistent. We live in a world that lives by their emotions. Everything that we do in America is emotion based. I get so sick and tired of emotional churches. Everybody doing okay? Rick Warren is an emotional church. your modern charismatics, charismaniacs, and your tongue speakers and all that mess, that's called emotionalism. That's why they've got to have the rock bands. That's why they've got to have the loud music. That's why everybody's got to sway to the music and all hold hands and sing kumbaya and do all that mess. You say, why? Emotionalism. Oh, we felt the Spirit. You don't feel the Spirit. You are empowered by the Spirit. You have to receive the Spirit. You don't have to be swaying in the wind and dancing to have the Spirit of God. Now listen to me. You choose your attitude by your will. You choose your attitude by your will. You decide what your attitude will be. Hey, parents, you know what I'm talking about. Kids, you'll understand this one real quick. A child can tell you something and you can say, I don't care what you say. It's not what you're saying. It's your attitude right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I can have a kid tell me yes with a bad attitude. And I'll correct it that quick. Attitude's more important to me than the other part. Say, what is attitude? If you fly on an airplane ever, there's an indicator over there called an attitude indicator. It's the direction you're going. Your attitude shows us what direction you're facing. God says your spirit, your attitude shows me what principles you're following. Let me show you what I mean. When you base your decision on principle versus emotion, you'll have a more stable life. When you have your decisions based on principle versus your emotions, listen to me, you'll live less stressed. Say, Brother Bush, we went from the hotel. We tried to get three other buildings. Amen, Brother Barnes. And they all fell through. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Look what God did. Say, what are you going to do now? Are we going to buy this building? I don't know. Depends on what the price is. Amen. If we can handle it, we're going to try it. The owners will be here next Sunday. Then the owner's daddy's going to come and meet with me in May. Say, what are you going to do? I'm not stressed about it. This is God's house. Say, what do you mean? I have principles by which we'll make our decisions. I'm not going to put us so far in debt that we can't pay our bills and support missionaries and that we can't support the people that need supported and reach more people in this area. We're not going to go multiply millions of dollars in debt to where I can't support a man like that starting churches in New England. Everybody doing all right? Say, what is that? Principle decision. Principle decision. Plan your emotions. Let me show you what I mean, and I'll do this quickly. You all know me and technology. They don't go together well, amen? And I'm not even going to go into all this. That's why Brother Jerry broke the wine bottle. He was laughing at my technology problems. But I have had difficulty with my internet provider for months. I finally had it. Wednesday night, I told you I was about ready to kill them, and my wife said, don't call them back because you have to preach tonight. You say, what was that? She was protecting my attitude. On Friday, I canceled my internet service with that company and went with a new company. You say, why Friday? Why not Thursday? Because I was still too angry on Thursday, and I was not going to probably say everything I should with the right attitude. Friday afternoon, I called. And you say, who was it? I'm not telling you. That's not right. But I called and I said, ma'am, I've had this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. I went through the list with her. And I said, I realize you are not the one responsible for all those problems, but I am canceling my service as of right now. She said, normally I try to convince people not to cancel, but I can tell by your voice you're not changing. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. Now, I didn't raise my voice. I didn't yell. I didn't cuss. Brother Jerry did for me. I didn't do any of that. I just said very emphatically, with my spirit right, what I was doing. So then there was a discrepancy about an $80 charge for tech support that cut me off and I never got tech support for. They tried to transfer the call, and I got cut off again. Call this number, call that number, had to go through, all the 14,237 prompts that you have to go through to get to the right person. And finally, a man answers the phone that speaks English. And I said, "Sir, for your sake, this is who I am. Here's my address. Here's my account number. And I wouldn't talk if I were you." And I said, "Here's what I've been through. Here's where I'm going. And the $79.99 that you charged me is not going on my credit card." He said, "I can tell by what you've been through and by your attitude right now, we're not going to change you, are we?" I said, "No, sir. And it would be good for you not to try right now." I said it just like that. He said, "I'll make sure it's not charged." I said, "Thank you." And on I went. I didn't have to get angry. I plan when I get mad. If I start getting angry and it's not planned, it's probably not right. It's not that I shouldn't get angry. God says, be angry and sin not. What's sinful anger? Reactionary, emotion. When you discipline your kids in anger, you are responding emotionally. Plan on throwing a fit. You got to plan how you do that. When you react, they're popping off at you. Sometimes you got to send you to your room and them to your room so you can calm down and act the right way. Okay, I got to hurry up here. Never decide by emotion. You don't decide by who it is how you're going to respond. Y'all know my favorite statement. I don't care what your last name is. The decision's the same. Doesn't matter who you are. Say why? Because it shouldn't matter what the last name is, how you make a decision. If the decision's right for one, it's right for everybody. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So it's not based on the person. It's not based on the place that you want to go. I know preachers. Well, if it's not in this place, I'm not going. Okay, that's really the will of God. It's not based on convenience. Well, God, I want this, but you're going to have to provide it, and you're going to have to do it for me before I do it for you. Hello. I'd rather take a man like that that's willing to go out and get a job, work like a dog, and start building churches. That's called a great commission man. Did you notice that? Next, verse 11. Restore and cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That is literally in reference to the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved into your life. Let me reteach a bad doctrine. Jesus doesn't move into your heart, the Holy Spirit does. Jesus doesn't move into your heart, boys and girls, the Holy Spirit does. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Your spirit is reborn by the Holy Spirit of God, and he moves inside of you. You don't need to speak in tongues to prove it. You don't need to lay on the floor and flop like a fish out of water and say, "I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it." The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got just as much of the Holy Spirit as Jesus Christ had. Now, what you yield to in that decides how far you go. But God said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." When you got saved, you have access to everything the Holy Spirit is. That means this: when you need comfort or you need to comfort someone, you have the Holy Spirit. That means when somebody loses a child, you have the ability to help them through the Holy Spirit of God. Can I tell you how helpless it is to sit there with someone who's lost a loved one and you know no matter what you say, it's not going to help? Say, what is that? The Holy Spirit has to do that, not you. When you need to help lead, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Brother Hollinger and I, in my office, and Brother Smith, when Brother Hollinger was gone, before every service, we meet in my office. The last thing we do, I say, "Oh God, help us. Holy Spirit, fill the man leading the singing with your power. Fill me with your power. Lord, help us to lead the right way." Say, what is that? That's why the Holy Spirit's presence is here. I've got to hurry. Next. Look down at verse number 12. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. There's spirit number three. I'm going to take about 4 or 5 minutes on this, but listen to me very carefully. The word free spirit means volunteering. Listen to this. It means ethical. It means free from destruction of doom or freedom within the rules. Folks, I have a free spirit because of the ethics I follow. Everybody doing okay? I believe in having good ethics. I believe in treating people ethically. For instance, when somebody visits our church from another Baptist church, I tell them, I will not come visit you if it's local here. I tell them that. So I'd love to have you back, but I'm not going to come visit you. Now, not everybody will do that for me. I don't care. I don't expect them to live by my ethics. That's the ethics I live by. I'd never counsel somebody else's church member without the pastor's permission. Never. I get phone calls from around the country. I get phone calls from people in the area here, and I tell them, I won't counsel you. You have your pastor call me and say, I can counsel you. I'll do it. Let me show you what I mean. For the last 6-7 years, every summer, I go visit my dear friend, Brother Jim Gelhausen, over in Avenel, New Jersey. And I preach for Brother Gelhausen. Often, most, probably 5 out of the last 6 years, he takes that week as a week of his vacation and leaves the church so that I can run it for him while he's gone and he's on vacation while I'm kind of on vacation. Do you know that, and I've preached in that church many sermons, there are people there that love my family, they love me. Do you know that I never counsel his church members while I'm there? Never. I've had him call me from vacation at his church and say, Brother Bush, what are you doing? Brother so-and-so needs to talk to you. Would you talk to him for me? I said, if I've got your permission. He said, we got to go through this every year. I said, every situation, not every year. I said, I love you so much. I won't talk to any of your church members. I said, they want to talk hunting, fishing, something like that. Hey, no problem. But if it comes to counseling, forget it. You tell me, I'll counsel them. I'm not counseling them without you personally telling me. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Let me show you what I mean. My dear friend, by the way, Brother Gelhausen was my roommate in college. Another roommate of mine in college is Brother Nash, who now works with Brother Gelhausen. Lord have mercy. Do you know that when I asked for Brother Nash to come preach here for me while I was taking the seniors on their senior trip, do you know that I did not call Brother Nash, I called Brother Gelhausen? I called Brother Gelhausen and said, Brother Gelhausen, I got an idea. I'd like your opinion. He gave me his opinion. I said, I don't want you to give me what I want. I want your true opinion. I need to know, is this what you want? Then I talked to Brother Nash. Folks, I've known Brother Nash as long as I've known Brother Gelhausen. I worked with Brother Nash. He was my roommate in college. It's a wonder I asked him to come. Folks, I didn't ask Brother Nash first. I didn't say, boy, I'd love to have you come. Let me go talk to your preacher. He didn't know I was considering him. I already had his permission, pastor's permission and blessing before I ever contacted him. When I contacted him, I said, I've talked to Brother Gelhausen. He's given me permission to ask you this question. If you'd like to come, I'd like to have you. I didn't say, by the way, if Brother Gelhausen would have shut it down, guess what? He wouldn't have preached here. Say, you wouldn't have had him? Not then. Say why? That's ethics. That's the way it's supposed to be. And by the way, I don't counsel Brother Nash. He's called me a few times. I said, have Brother Gelhausen call me. I won't answer his questions unless I have his pastor's permission first. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? We should have a volunteering spirit. Can I tell you what? The people that are happiest are serving people. The happiest people are serving people. Can I tell you something? Learn to get excited about your salvation. Say, how do I serve? Tell other people about Jesus Christ. Invite them to church. Get them saved. Get them down the aisle. Get them in the tank. We'll capsize them, baptize them, and everything else. Amen? Say, when you start serving other people, you get that freedom of spirit. Yes. Brother Bush, you're always happy. Why? Because I'm busy serving God. I have that freedom to do that. Boy, that's good stuff. Lastly, and I got to hurry up and shut up. No amens there. Look at verse number 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. And a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That word broken means humble or yielded. There's a word, ladies, you'll understand this. You could use the word tenderized. Ladies, you got one of those hammers in your kitchen drawer. You get a tough piece of meat. What do you do with it? You beat the snot out of that thing. And most of those hammers have like little squares cut on them that are fairly sharp. Say, what do you do with that? As you pound on that piece of meat with that hammer, those little X's are cutting the fibers of that meat to break that meat down so that it becomes more tender and it's a little bit more able to be chewed up. It's called tenderizing. Say, what do you do with it? You beat it. Boom, 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 boom. You're breaking those long fibers up into smaller fibers so that when it cooks, it's not tough. It's not like eating a piece of shoe leather. God says there are times in your life he's going to beat on you to tenderize you. Some of you want to question God. God, why am I going through all this? Maybe he's trying to tenderize you. Maybe he's got to put you through those things to tenderize you so that the rest of your life you could meet other people's needs in that area. Well, I don't understand why God took my baby. Well, maybe there's about 150 other people out there that need you to have gone through that to help them, get them saved, get them in church, and see God change their life. You'd rather get bitter with God and struggle and not yield to him. You'd rather get mad at God rather than use it to help somebody else. God meant it for your tenderizing. He just wanted to beat you down a little bit, not to beat you down, but to make you more usable. I don't enjoy all the things I've been through, but guess what? I plan on it tenderizing me, not making me tough and bitter. By the way, I got a good spirit. I'm happy. You know, learn to yield to God's will. Quit fighting it. Learn to yield to God's leadership. Quit fighting it. Old illustration, and I'm done. Shepherds, sometimes as they're watching their flocks, will have often a young sheep or a lamb. It'll go astray. They'll bring that sheep back into the fold. If it gets that ornery streak, kind of like some of our kids every once in a while, they get that ornery streak and they just want to keep on going, amen? You bring them back and they keep going. You bring them back and they keep going. You bring them back and they keep going. A shepherd, a wise shepherd, sometimes will go if he cannot train that sheep to stay in the fold. And when he picks that sheep up, he'll bend down and take the front leg of that lamb and he'll break that leg. You know, put it back together and tape it up. Put him on his shoulders and carry him back. And put him down and say, now you can't leave. You're hurt so bad, you cannot leave. He did not break that sheep's leg to hurt it. He broke it to keep it from dying, to being killed by a wolf or a coyote or some wild animal. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That means he has broken me because I kept running away. And he broke that and put it back together to where I was too feeble to run too far. Maybe in the process, if I'm put it together, that I'm not going to run away and get the other leg broke here. Sometimes God has to break you to use you. Four spirits of Psalm 51. A right spirit, Holy Spirit, a free spirit, and a broken spirit. Let me ask you a question. What's your attitude like? Do you live by your emotions? Do you let your emotions get the best of you? Oh, that crazy preacher, he's bashing on me again. Okay, you're letting your emotions get the best of you. Are you living by principle? Making your decisions based on that book and good, godly, wise counsel? Are you living by good ethics? What's your ethics like? I challenge you, follow me around to the business people of our church that our church does business with, and you'll find out I'll treat people ethically. Say why? Because that's the best way to do business. it's right. I'd rather be cheated than cheat them. Say, that's not fair. Might not be fair, but it's the right way to live. Everybody doing okay? That'll give you freedom. Gives you a lot of freedom. How about a broken spirit? Some of you, God's trying to break you. If you're going through the fire, God believes you're worth the refining process. But you don't have pure gold without going through the fire. You got to burn the dross off. Say, I'm just going through the fire, Brother Bush. Good. God believes you're worth refining. Are you willing to stay in the fire long enough to come out pure gold? Be usable and more valuable? Or are you going to get mad and get contrite? You're going to get upset and I'm going to take my family and go somewhere else. That's a wonderful spirit. I don't have any problems like that in our church that I know of. None. Say, what is this? Preventive maintenance. Let's keep our attitude adjusted right. Let's be focused on what we're supposed to do. And let's do what God wants us to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know which spirit needs worked on in your life, but I'm sure somebody here has at least one to work on. I know I work on them all on a regular basis.